This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Oops, excuse me. Scoozu.
Oh, hell yes.
Here it is.
We've got a caller all the way from Palo Alto who wants to join in. Are you still there, caller, Mr. Harmy?
Harmy, yes.
Yes, sir. How can you add to solving of the world's problems today? What do you want to say?
Yes, I'm here. I'm holding to...
No, don't hold anymore. Part. You're live all over the world right now.
Oh, I am?
Yes, sir, you are. So talk to us. What is your question?
Excellent. I was calling because, as Councilwoman John Normand stated, that if you were to, in fact, invest in the Far Flotus of the Blowhole on John and Mike Show, that you could probably...
We are obviously on the right track because the devil has sent his child to come and try to shake us up.
Devil's child. Oops, hold on a second. This machine just regurgitated.
One, two, three, four.
Give me a moment, Mike.
What track?
Please stand by.
One. Track 20 rocks, Rob.
Do it, man.
One, two, three, four.
The Don and Mike Show.
You had a delay there.
Hold on, let's try that machine one more time.
Yes. Now that it's all warmed up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that's better. That's tighter than a nun.
Jungle!
Well, aren't you just the cat's pajamas?
Dumbass. Just a bunch of white trash.
Hi, everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
You boys make me sick.
Welcome back to the film.
We, the Rutgers University Scarlet Knight basketball team, accept Mr. Imus's apology. And we are in the process of forgiving.
I was still in the machine.
We, the Rutgers University Scarlet Knight basketball team.
He's gone.
Except Mr. Imus's apology.
He's been replaced by the coach.
Imus's spot in the machine has been taken by the lady coach.
No. Yes.
How soon they forget. Aren't you sorry about that, Imus?
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
I did a bad thing.
I did a bad thing.
Seems like it was only yesterday.
When the car stopped, I was sad that I'd wrecked. I was embarrassed that I'd wrecked. I was thankful that I wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
I just hope this is a lesson to the children and grown-ups alike at home that you have to be game on when you're driving a vehicle.
These tapes are just all out of order, so let me just say.
What not?
Right.
What not? What
right.
Not. What not?
Right.
What not?
He's a jackass.
Here is Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
What's happening, little brains?
Little brains.
We're little brains just like you, Don and Mike Show. New episode, everybody, on a Monday. On a good-looking Monday. How's it hanging?
How is it hanging? I ask myself that every day.
Well, here we go. Let's start the show.
Yes.
We're not going to continue our walk down the road of race in America.
No.
For a couple of days. We do have an urban disc jockey that we're talking to now.
Good.
About doing a simulcast with. And listen, let's face it, as we predicted last week, when the next big story happens, everyone will collectively forget about race. And sadly today the story is this Virginia Tech thing.
Right. This is truly, absolutely mind-boggling what's happening in the state of Virginia today. Just amazing.
I guarantee if Imus had said what he said this week,
yeah,
wouldn't even rate I mentioned,
kind of makes you realize
in the radio gossip pages
how significant that is on the big scheme of things. Right. I'm still, everybody's kind of reeling around the radio station about what happened today. I mean, this is a brand new story. I mean, it's been going on all day, but it's been developing all day, too. And it's just, it really boggles the mind that this is one individual that is. Done this today, so it's shocking. It really is.
One on the campus of Virginia Tech, at least 30 people dead, right, Buzz?
32 dead, 25 injured. Those are minimum figures, and the 32 dead includes the gunman.
So, and still, as Don and I were discussing before the show, we're talking about one gunman who took his own life right now. That's what they're saying.
We're getting mixed reports. The police still are investigating to see if they killed him or if he killed himself. With so many bullets flying, it's hard to tell.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there going, how come this couldn't happen last week?
Right.
Wow.
Jesus Amazing. Christ, what if an upside-down world we live in.
If it had to happen.
We were having our race discussion last week. Right. We were talking about how angry everybody seemed to be. And, obviously some more angry than others. I mean, this is just a
no connection, though, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
What's going to happen is that rather than the discussion now, maybe even in a small way, if this thing at VT hadn't happened, maybe the discussion going to race and going to hip-hop and what we can do about that. Now, with the piranha-like media that we have, now it's going to be violence in the school. Who got the gun to the kid? How come the kids in the school weren't told after he shot the first time around?
If it is a kid,
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know if it's a student yet. Right. So,
that's true. Don't know a lot yet.
Do they know what kind of weapon he used?
The only thing I keep getting back to, I don't care how long the timeline was, one guy doing this much damage is... it would speak to either having a lot of firepower or also, planning this thing. What I keep hearing on the different reports is that he knew the campus very well. He had to know in order to do this. He had to know where he was going.
He had to have. That engineering building was pretty much out of the way, off the beaten path. So he had to have actually sought it out to find that building.
Not to belittle the Rutgers women basketball team,
right?
Female basketball team, but I would say the students today at Virginia Tech had something happen to them that really will affect them. The rest of their lives.
I heard reports with one graduate student who was close to what happened today. That he was going to talk about not going back because he's messed up by this. I mean, I think we saw with Columbine what this does to human beings. I hate to talk in records or numbers or anything like that, but this is this just absolutely eliminates Columbine from the map as far as the worst tragedies of all time
on
a campus.
Worst here,
right?
Second worst in the world.
Wow.
Better than the massacre of 66.
What was the massacre of 66?
I don't even know, but that's what they were talking about today. The biggest school shooting of all time.
When they say school
in the U.S. was in 1966.
And pardon these stupid questions, but when they say school shooting, they're talking about any campus, They're talking
through
elementary through college.
Exactly.
And wow. I mean, just on a serious note, of course, everybody here, there are a lot of people that listen to this show that have family down at Tech, and really our hearts and really our thoughts go out to all of them. Because really, I see these people all the time out there in where I live. So
I've got three cousins that go there.
You got three cousins that go there? Yeah, this is pretty close to home for us here on the show today. So it's very
And what Rob didn't mention is that the three cousins, two of them are married.
To each other.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Yeah. And the bay and the
like,
third,
like in royalty, the way they used to do royalty.
And the third cousin is the child of those two cousins.
It's a beautiful thing. But what troubles me about this is now we're not hearing about the 20-year storm.
Is this a 20-year storm?
Yes.
You didn't hear that over the weekend.
I didn't hear that.
This is the 20-year storm.
I spent a lot of time sleeping over the weekend.
You see how the trees are moving out there?
Yeah.
That's the 20-year storm.
The 20-year storm.
They won't move again like that for another 20 years.
I'm incredibly calm for coming to you today and telling you that I have not had electrical power since 1:05 a.m.
Pretty composed.
Hey.
You're doing well.
What that means is the entire morning, Regis and Kelly time.
Yes.
How did you, you look groomed.
Yeah, did you bathe?
Did you bathe today or is that grease here?
Did not. No. Lucked out, took a shower late last night. Uh-huh.
quarter to one?
Late last.
It's almost as if you knew.
No. Actually came out of the worst part of this illness thing that I had had last night. And about 10 o'clock just started sweating like Marion Barry. Yeah. Like there was no tomorrow.
You look rather fresh.
Thanks.
You truly do.
I'm a clean guy.
Fresh and exciting.
And you are calm and collected.
I'm clean. I didn't even sweat today. I am such a slave to electricity. Without my treadmill, I said, "What's the point?"
Couldn't break a sweat.
What's the point? Go outside and run?
Oh,
please get out of here!
I didn't know they call this a 20-year storm.
It's the 20-year storm.
The 20-year storm.
Sure.
Well, how about that?
Look at it.
If that's the case, I'll see you in 20 years for the next one.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Because the only thing bad about this, at least for us here in D.C., is that it rained and it's windy, a lot of people like myself don't have power right now.
I had to fasten down my grill cover. You don't do that every day.
I have a personal message that I'd like to send out to my friend, Mr. Sweeney. Sweeney, fly like the wind to my home with hammer and nail. Nail my roof back on, Sweeney.
Mike got a report that his roof is blown off.
Oh, no.
Blowing off. I don't believe it's blown off. I think I've been informed that that it's flapping in the breeze.
The roof.
They're going out to fix it as we speak. But, you know,
The roof is on fire.
I always think of roofs in that way that, you know, once one section goes, isn't that the way they do it?
Yeah.
I got a tin roof rusted, so it's...
is a tin roof.
It's a metal roof.
They'll put it down. It'll be great because it's fine.
What do you know? You're not a roofer.
He doesn't know anything.
You don't know anything. You just act like
it.
Why are you at the microphone this early on a Monday?
I'm sleepy.
Why are you living there already? Is this where you plan to camp out? Why?
Step back.
All right.
I'll explain.
What is he doing? What's he up to?
He has been without his best friend.
You?
No, please. His Mike, who's his best friend?
Oh, the Green Bottles?
No, more than certainly more than me.
Uh-huh.
More than his best friend Brad.
His piece of the Hindenburg.
But more than that,
television.
Bingo.
Oh.
Rob moved over the weekend, and DirecTV missed their appointment.
Is that why he's all wound up today?
Oof. Yes.
I got a call from him this morning, real early.
Yeah.
I mean, even by my standards, it was early, and he was just sitting in a room having a cup of coffee. Just going,
Here he comes again.
I couldn't watch The Sopranos. You know, in the entire time 24 has been on the air, I have seen every single episode at the time it's been on. I may not be able to see it tonight. Don't tell me you don't have power. I didn't have TV all day yesterday. I don't have TV today. I called DirecTV. I told them my mother-in-law is ill, and still all they offered me was free Stars. Do you hear what I'm saying to me? Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Stars is nice.
Here he is now.
I wanted to grab you by the lapels and shake you and say, don't you understand?
So it must have killed you when I just mentioned The Sopranos right before we went on the air.
Yeah, it felt great.
That was good.
I bet it was.
Just so you know.
At least I remember to watch the premiere, Buzz.
I already told him that Fat Ginny's husband dies.
Yeah.
I already ruined it.
Johnny Sack?
Yeah, I already ruined it.
Biting a big one?
I already ruined it. I already told him.
And you didn't even say spoiler warning ahead.
They killed Johnny Sack in a slow... You know, way. Normally when you get the big casino, it takes a long time. And they did it in short order. They did it in one episode. He got it, got diagnosed. You know, all of a sudden he's got the oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He smokes a lot in the pen.
Well, he wasn't smoking, and then he started again once he knew it was time to go. And great performance.
Sidney Pollack.
Uh-huh.
I called that right away as soon as I saw him. I said, oh, my God, good one. This is really going to be a good Sopranos.
I stopped down and said to Carla, that's a fine director that's sweeping that floor right there. That's Sidney Pollack. And then I said, well, what did he – and for her first question, of course, is what did he direct? And the only thing I could come up with was Tootsie.
Well.
Can you come up with another one? I mean, he's
Homo.
Isn't he a well-regarded director? That's his primary contribution to – he acts in a lot of his movies.
He was in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, he did that one.
That was a Kubrick film.
What was that one with Travolta I like so bad? A Civil Action? Although I think he was just an actor in that one too.
Right.
He just played a smarmy lawyer in that.
Look at him just
flying. I hate when you go to the book though.
He did The Electric Horseman, Absence of Malice, Tootsie, Out of Africa, Havana, The Firm, the remake of Sabrina, Random Hearts, and The Interpreter.
Okay, so maybe.
So he's not that great a movie maker.
He's not that great a director. Okay.
Like, he's a better actor than he is a movie maker.
Well, he likes acting better, I think.
Oh, and The Way We Were.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, oh well, that's now. That. Finally, something that you get. A classic.
Memories. Can I just say, Rob, you know what that is when you do that?
Excuse me.
It's very Ken Beatrice-ish.
Yeah, but you know what?
And I want you to keep the Ken Beatrice Oz image alive. There's a guy who used to work at Old Time Radio that Mike and I know.
Uh-huh.
This guy, Ken Beatrice.
Yes.
You're next.
Yeah. Sports guy. He's one of the original sports talk guys. This is
right.
This guy did sports talk before sports talk was a big deal.
This guy got fired because he said something about a Chinese athlete, and it was awful, and it was like Jimmy the Greek, and he got, I don't know, he didn't know. No. Why, what happened to him? He
got fired.
Yeah.
He just got fired because they didn't want him around.
They let him go.
He didn't say anything about anybody's race or anything.
No.
He just got fired.
No.
Anyway, the guy's whole rap was that if you would call him up and ask him a question, he had like this Rain Man type thing going where he just had these facts, these incredible facts in his head that he could just spew off. And
he used to like to talk to little kids, too, which I always thought was absolutely charming. When you get a 5-year-old going, will the Redskins win the Super Bowl this year?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Kenny. I think they've got a fine offense and defense. However, they've got to make some strides in their special teams in order to really get all the way. That's where I think they're lacking. Now, if they could get a good cornerback, and I know they're in the market for one, thanks for calling, Kenny. Bye now.
I eat a booger, Mr. Beatrice.
Eat your booger, Kenny. Thanks so much for calling. Now, remember, when you're eating your boogers, make sure your mom and dad don't see you.
But the whole thing on this guy was, whether you thought he was talented or not, he truly did have all of this information, all of this useless sports trivia in his noggin.
So it seemed.
And Rob, yeah. It is somewhat discerning after all of these years to see you not even attempt, to see you just immediately go for your magic book of trivia.
I had nothing. I don't have a good background on
well, now, wait a minute. Were you giving Ken Beatrice props there saying that he had it in his I think that the rap on Ken was that he had the like encyclopedias there in the studio with him.
No, the rap on
Didn't he get busted for that one time?
No, the rap on Ken Beatrice was that he would always say that I've done scouting work with the New England Patriots.
Right.
And I've done scouting work with the New York Jets. And they found out, they called him up and they said, the guy's like, we thought he was a flasher showing up in his trench coat.
In the old days, it was really kind of a signature of talk radio. The guys like Larry King would say, I played ball with Sandy Koufax. They would say stuff, and Bill O'Reilly continues the tradition today.
And no
you can
would
say stuff that nobody's going to call you on, and nobody wants to take the time to do the research.
And I remember there was a big expose in the Washington Post, and if I'm not incorrect here, gosh, I hope memory serves me correctly, it was the Patriots. That this whole thing
it's definitely a New England type
that he
thing.
Said, well, I'll tell you why I know so much about football. I spent time with the New England Patriots, the Boston Patriots,
right.
Game planning, working, and then I think it came out that they never heard of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They never heard of him.
And who?
But he did have this, because I saw him do it, where you would ask him a question, and he could just spout off incredible facts.
He should.
Unlike you, Rob.
I was with you when we saw him do it. Remember we went to his his broadcast?
Yes, I do.
At Pettibones?
Oh, yeah. He was nervous.
Pettibones.
Which
I believe is now Famous Dave's Ribs.
Thank you. I like Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's is great. They have I think they still have Tuesday night all you can eat ribs.
I remember the last time I called Ken Beatrice.
Uh-huh.
We were going to the premiere of Rocky IV. That's how long ago it was.
Uh-huh.
And it was right when cell phones first came out because we were on the way from Weva to a theater in Georgetown. So that's about like a 25-minute drive. And it was 7 p.m. when his show came on, and his whole big thing was phone number 432-WMAL for those who are visually impaired, 432-9625. And I remember, swear to God, being in the car with other people from the radio station, calling him up and saying, Ken, I'm so glad that you give out the phone number because I am blind.
Oh, my God. That's right. I remember that one.
And there really wasn't a great punchline to that. I just said something like, and I want you to know I enjoy listening to you talk about the Redskins because I am blind and I am glad you give out the phone number the way that you give it out. Really, it was by today's standard, it was nothing.
Yeah. No.
But, I mean, we hung up the phone, and it was like we thought it was like we had just prank called the Pope.
It is pretty funny.
Now, I limit myself to one milkshake a month, and I don't enjoy the curly fries.
He used to say that a lot.
Well, that's after he had the big ticker attack, right?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Glad to hear you're feeling better, Don.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to bust Robbie's balls because Sidney Pollack played Will's dad on Will and Grace.
Played Will's dad?
Yeah.
Rob?
So you watch Will and Grace and you're busting my balls.
He's a fag.
Let me offer you a piece of advice. Are you listening?
Please do, Rob.
Lick it.
Oh, well, I'd expect that.
Lick it. You are good. Wound up. Wow. Yeah, you spring to that attention like that.
And, oh, my God. Yeah, let's talk about the weekend because... What a weekend I had. Not a good weekend, but things ended up working out great. I'd been feeling ill last week, most of the week.
Right.
Friday, some of it came trickling out over the air. I know what it was. We were waiting for that chick from 24,
right,
who will probably disappoint us today as well.
Karen Hayes.
Yeah, I think she's shooting a scene. If not tomorrow, Yanni?
We're trying for tomorrow, too. Maybe she'll disappoint us then, too.
Today, tomorrow, who knows when.
Christmas time, I'm getting him some 3-in-1 oil.
Yeah, some oil for that mic boom.
Anyway, I was mentioning that I had this thing. My girlfriend's, her dad's 80th birthday.
Yes.
Was Saturday. The birthday party was this past Saturday in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And we were going to drive, actually past Pittsburgh, a five-hour drive total, one way. Drive there, meet her entire family, all of them, and like 50 or 60 of them at once.
Wow.
And then get in the car and drive back home. I was apprehensive about this because I'm nervous. I've only done this before in my life, really, one time with Frida. You know, Dawn doesn't count. When you're married to a girl when you're just getting out of high school and then you're divorced, you know, for goodness sakes, 3 months later.
That doesn't count.
You know, that's... what do they call that in golf, Mike? That's a mulligan.
It's a mulligan. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there was a kid. So there were
You take a breakfast bowl on that one.
There was a mulligan with a child, my beautiful daughter Amy.
Mulligan really has been I guess classically, but now we do call them breakfast balls. You know, you walk up there and you hit your first shot of the day, the first shot of the morning, beautiful morning, and you have one in your pocket. You know, because if you hit that first one bad, you know, you just start. It's a do-over. It's a do-over.
Yeah, okay.
Dawn Mulligan.
So that's exactly what Dawn was. Dawn Mulligan.
I kind of thought you'd make the trip. I thought you
let me explain to you what happened.
Okay.
So, you know, Dawn doesn't count, and then you have Frida. Everyone knows about my wonderful life with sweet Frida.
Right.
And now there's Jan. And as it turns out, I had been sick all last week, and it finally started to affect her a little bit on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my throat doesn't feel too great. Then on Friday, she said, you know, I'm really not feeling good. Maybe we shouldn't go to Pittsburgh. And I didn't want to oversell this. I said, whatever you think, sweetie, mm-hmm. whatever you want
good
to do.
Answer.
And then on Friday, I was talking about it on the air with Mike. Mm-hmm. Janet called up. I didn't want to talk to her on the air. She is just the sweetest girl. She called up and she said, hey, you know what? You don't have to go. If you don't feel good, don't go.
Yeah, that was all resolved here on the air, and it was etched in stone.
And I was expecting to get home and have the other shoe drop, you know, and have it be like, okay,
right.
You know, as everybody in the world has experienced at some point, I was experiencing a nice ride on the guilt train when I got home. I was not expecting her to back out of what she said. I was simply expecting her to amplify a bit more about what a dick I was because I wasn't going to be going because, yes, I didn't feel good. I really didn't feel good. I swear to God.
Right.
But also, I swear to God, I really didn't want to go to this thing, but it was one of those things.
Exactly.
There was no way to get out of.
Both are true.
So she says when I get home on Friday night, she says, I feel my head. And now I got to be careful with this because I know she wants me to feel her fever.
Right.
Now, at this point, I think she still is going to go to Pittsburgh and leave me at home for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So I put my head on her forehead, and really, no lie, she's burning up.
Wow.
But what I have to do is lowball it because I don't want to. I don't want to appear to be too like, oh my God, you're sick. You can't go to Pittsburgh.
Right, like you're trying to make sure she stays with you.
Right. So I go, you know what? And I do that thing. I put my hand on her head, then on my head, then on her head. I go, you do feel kind of warm. Mm-hmm. She says, yeah, I just took my temperature. She's a little high. I said, what is it? 101.9.
Oh,
I said, oh, that's sick. She said, yeah. You know, with all those elderly people and all the young kids with the grandkids and stuff, we can't go up there.
Well, with the elderly people, that's a really, even though I know it works out for the best for you, that's really legitimate 100% good idea not to be around.
Sure. I know it is. And
I know. I mean, I know you'd like it to, you probably in your own mind would like it to be some sort of thing where it was created or manipulated to be this way.
But
because you'd feel more satisfied that way.
Here's what sucks, Mike, is that I really was feeling better on Friday than I had felt all week long. Got home Friday night, had this talk with Jan. She is really sick. She's feeling better today. She was really sick over the weekend. I woke up on Saturday morning, and I mean, you want to talk. Now, here was the progression. The eyes awaken, and right away I think, oh, no long road trip. First thing I think.
Yeah.
And best of all, no guilt. Right?
I thought you were going to say you woke up and you were really feeling better too.
Well, no, I was feeling pretty good on Friday night when I went to bed. So as I woke up on Saturday morning, it was like, oh, that's really the first thing I thought. Oh, no road trip. I look over and I see there she is, and she looks like she's got a cold.
Right.
You know, when you're looking at someone sleep and they,
right,
you know,
you can
they
tell.
Just, they look ill.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think, oh, and I rub her shoulder a little bit. And I think, oh, this is gonna be a daddy weekend. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I get up and I take about one step and I go, hey, what's. Yeah!
Oh.
And.
So you still had it.
And I stood up.
What the hell do you have?
I really don't know, Mike, but whatever it is was all over our bedspread.
Oh. Just didn't see it coming.
No. I mean, I stood up. I swear to Christ. I stood up and I thought, this is great. I really feel great. As it turns out, she's sick, and we're not going. And as I went like that, just a stretch, it was almost involuntary. It was like,
out.
Wow.
So
I said, oh, my God, I think I'm still sick.
What did you have for dinner on Friday?
Rubber balls and liquor.
Hey!
So then,
how
did the distance on this compare to previous bodily fluid projections?
Oh, listen, what comes out of my throat,
uh-huh,
has got nothing on what comes out of my gents.
No comparison.
Jeez.
So, anyway, I clean up the mess. And
that's horrible.
Then we finally decide that, I'm sicker than she is.
Really?
Yeah, I've retaken the lead. Eesh. Spent most of the day.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to wake up Saturday all refreshed.
Better.
And feeling.
No. And
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, which I never really understood what that means.
So I go back upstairs. I say, you know, I got to go back to bed. I feel like crap. And I go back upstairs, and I'm upstairs about 20 minutes, and I really got the
chills.
But hold on a second, because I'm thinking, hey, what the hell's going on with me? I look at the thermostat. I see the thermostat, 62.
Uh-oh.
I say, what the frick is going on here?
Rather bracing.
I go downstairs. Thermostat downstairs says 0.0. I mean, it says nothing.
Yeah. Ooh.
Turns out furnace is broken.
Oh.
Great timing. So I'm sick. She's sick.
Normally in April around here, that wouldn't matter.
Furnace guy comes out.
Normally.
We're waiting for him to come out. We're both sitting there with our... I got that Sopranos robe on, the one that
right.
The one that HBO gave
yeah,
us.
Yeah, the Tony Soprano robe.
Yep. And she
featured
has,
very prominently in last night's episode.
She has a similar-looking Victoria's Secret robe on, but they're both big, white,
right,
fluffy.
Hers is crotchless, right?
Like,
see, it makes no sense that a robe would be crotchless. It just sounded funny.
You know what I was... Do you remember when you and I went to Nashville to film a TV commercial?
Film House.
And
used to call it Food House because they gave us so much food there.
And you and I went back to the hotel suite that they had gotten us.
Right.
And we ordered about every piece of food on the menu and a bunch of booze.
Yeah.
And
chicken tenders and steak.
And at that wow. time, I remember thinking, we must really be buddies. Either that or we must really be gay.
Yeah.
Because we were both wearing just our underpants and T-shirts
right.
and the hotel robes, which were not big enough
yeah.
for either one of us.
So we wore them like Tony Soprano wears them. And incidentally, now listen, now really. We were large, but we weren't large. And this is a knock on the robe manufacturers.
Hey, listen, this is back when Mike and I were skinny.
Yeah.
Compared to now.
Right.
We were skinny
but
back
robes
then.
Robes don't come in like an XL. They don't sell. I wear an XL T-shirt.
One size.
It's BS.
Well, that's what they say.
All I remember is there was a time, I know that you and I were really partying that night. We had a lot of fun. And we were in our
Some
suite.
Big game was on, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. We were watching a football game. Right. And you and I came around the corner, and we both had these robes on, and we insisted on tying the belt around the robe.
Trying to.
And the belt, what happened was, the belt itself came up like to our boob line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which it always does.
And the robe was open, yeah. except for this, and we both had incredible smears on the robe.
Well, we were using the robe as a napkin, and we were
wiping
doing...
our hands oh, from yeah, the God. Chicken tenders and the steak. We
were doing so knowingly, knowing we weren't going to keep the robes,
right.
that the robes would actually be a napkin for us, and it was big fun. It was really, like a couple of idiots, like a couple of monkeys, were in there realizing that the robes come with the room. You know, we didn't realize that you had to pay for them,
yeah.
you know, so that was another thing, like down yeah. the road, we got that bill.
Yeah.
You know, that was another, you know, deal with it. They caught us through the expense accounts.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, well, anyway, so both Janet and I are wearing our robes like that.
Right.
Which now, fortunately, you know, we can tie,
right.
so we're not exposing ourselves. The guy comes over, he says, okay, here's the problem. You got a gigantic water spill in the basement. That's why the emergency water trip thing went on. That's why the furnace shut off. I'm going to fix this. I'll be gone in an hour and a half. So we're waiting. He leaves. As soon as he leaves, we both go, oh.
Yeah.
Do we just sink into the couch? It's maybe an hour later. Janet says, are you cold?
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, God, we are so sick. We are so sick. Mm. It's about 2 hours later. I go past the thermostat, and I'm like, 58.
Oh,
that's like, not right.
The frig's going on. We call him back up. They say, okay, we'll send out another guy. Now, the second guy that they sent out, unfortunately, didn't speak as much English as the first guy.
Was the first guy, was that his first language?
I believe so.
And okay.
The second guy, I think English may have been in the top five.
So they sent out another guy.
Could have been in his top five. It's my five.
Well, what'd the first guy do?
Well, what the first guy did was found a filter that had been jammed up with gook, which caused water, right. which caused, oh, excuse me, filled up with Asians.
Thank
excuse
you.
Me, Rob. And like I said, it was filled up with gook.
Right.
And stuff that was stopping the water.
Right.
And it was all, it was starting to drip out there and go through the floorboard.
So he fixed that.
Right. The problem is that he didn't sop up all of the excess water that had leaked out, and he put a brand new water sensor underneath the furnace.
Mm.
He left, and he left it sitting on a washcloth that was soaking wet.
Okay.
So in essence, it was just when the second guy came over, from what I understand, it was like 2 hours until the sensor would go off again
and shut your furnace
and
down?
Shut down the entire furnace system again. So now the second time, I figured this out. When I called him up, the guy comes over. The language barrier is what's killing us, because what I'm saying to him is, in case this happens again, how do I turn it back on without calling you?
Good question.
And all he could manage to do was give me his business card
uh-huh.
and his cell phone.
Yeah, you call.
And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, okay.
So
okay, you call.
We get done with him. That was twice on Saturday. And at this point, both Janet and I are still, we got it coming out both ends.
Yeah.
And we're both still feeling really crappy. And it starts raining. And Sunday morning, we wake up. And she says,
Sunday morning,
She says, she wakes me up, goes, good morning. I said, good morning. She said, I hope you're feeling better. I said, I think I might be feeling better. She said, good. There's about 8 leaks in the roof.
Oh, wow.
I said, you are kidding me. And I go downstairs, and she's got all over the house pots and pans.
Oh, so no. It's like coming through your drywall.
And like big gulp.
Jesus.
Big gulp glasses.
I thought you got your roof fixed.
So did I, Mike.
So did I.
Hey.
What's the deal with roofers? I shouldn't say that right now. No. I didn't mean that. I take it back.
Roofers
They're
are great.
They're fantastic.
They are great.
So I love roofers.
So then the so now we're walking around looking at
roof.
I like roofies.
I do too.
I like roofies.
But only on a weekend night.
I like a roofie any night of the week.
I know you do. Well, you tolerate them better than I do. You know what happens when I have them, you know. You give them to me, and I wake up with the cranberry juice.
You get all touchy and everything.
Every single time.
And I don't mean like you get upset. I mean you get like Roman fingers touching.
Absolutely. I touch and like to be touched on roofies.
Hold on a second. That just reminded me of one of the Cialis commercials I saw yesterday.
Oh, yes.
That's an ED pill, right?
Right, it is.
Okay. I'd like to know the type of pussy, and by that I mean man, that takes this pill, because here's the commercial I saw yesterday for Cialis.
Okay.
The guy takes the pill.
Yeah.
Then he wants to make the he wants to put the moves on his girlfriend, yeah, right?
Something comes up.
Or his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone knocks at the door.
Right.
And the guy goes, "Oh, like that's it. Like that's the only chance he's ever going to have sex, because he's not taking the pill that gives him a 36-hour boner."
Well, see, that's they talk about. Is it the Cialis where they say,
that's right,
you know, you can do it whenever you want.
They call it the weekend.
As opposed to Viagra, where your Viagra is take it and it can only last for a little while.
2 to 4 hours.
Please. I mean, listen, I know there are guys out there who have to use those pills.
A real problem.
And you know, hopefully I won't ever be one of you pussies.
Amen.
But I would like to think that, my gosh, I can get it worked up.
I had a buddy of mine.
You're in good health. You're okay.
You know, and it's almost a piggyback on what Buzz has said, that this buddy of mine said, you know, you have to try this. I said, I don't need it.
Well,
he said,
no,
you have to try it because it is, he says, just, the best you will ever have.
It emasculates the man, this commercial does, because because what it, in essence what
I mean,
it says,
it's not like the one where they're throwing the football through the inner tube.
No, this really does, because the guy, it's like the girl says to the guy, you know, in essence, honey, I'm ready to give it up. And he goes, oh my God, thanks. Where's my pill?
Right.
And as soon as he eats the pill, right, it's ding dong. And he's like, oh my God, now I can't have sex because the doorbell rang and someone's at the door. And they go, wouldn't you love to be able to have sex for 36 hours? And really, I'm looking at this and I'm going, who are these men?
they're ill.
Let me talk to these men.
They're not well.
Well, the thing, you know.
I know, Buzz.
Every time I see that, and if there are kids in the room, you know, it just, that's, is that my phone? I'm sorry.
But can we, maybe it's about your roof. Take it, Mike. Yeah. Go ahead and take it.
All right, hold on a second.
Can we not make these commercials in some way in which the man doesn't appear to be such a gigantic pussy?
I don't see how.
And how come it has to be?
Hey, Kevin, what's happening?
And how come it has to be, it's when she's ready to screw?
Hey, Kev, can I tell you something right now?
When she's ready.
I know this is serious business, and I did want to mention that as I'm talking to you, I'm on the radio right now. So, you know, that's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. Tell me, it's the right panel, all right?
Right. Is your roof guy?
Yeah.
Oh, not the right panel.
We're all eavesdropping on Mike's private conversation.
Right, trying to. All right, I'll call you. I hope you can get it fixed. You'll get it at least temporarily fixed, right?
Get some tarp.
All right, you got your other guy? Okay, thanks, Kevin. All right, bye-bye. Jesus, like he was dying.
What did he say about your roof?
He was like, up here.
Did he say tear the roof off?
Hey,
the
Mike.
Side?
Hey, listen, Mike. Up here, yeah, it's right front panel. Try to get you. I said, well, you get it done, and I'll get an update from you. I really didn't get that much information.
Like Jack Bauer.
So I was kind of thinking about what you guys were saying. Yeah.
Tear the roof off the sucker.
Blow the roof off the house. I've blown the roof off of that house many times.
Anyway, it sure does make the man look like a pussy.
I understand.
And I was like, he's sitting there, and then she goes, oh, hey, guess what, caveman? I'll give it up for you now. It's like, oh, my God, you'll have sex with me? Wait, where's my pill?
This guy working on my roof right now, he wouldn't need that pill.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do
Sweeney
you know?
Wouldn't need the pill.
You know this about Sweeney.
Sweeney's a tough guy.
He can put in a whole roof and knock his hammer.
The dude is a Civil War reenactor, okay?
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, do I need I say any tougher than that?
I think that covers it.
Is he in uniform today?
Yeah, I think so.
He's a Confederate on your roof.
He's got the hat on.
I have always wondered, specifically when I go down south to visit my son down at Clemson.
Yes, right.
I see the Civil War reenactments happening up here in the Virginia area.
He doesn't fit the stereotype.
Oh, no. I'm not commenting about who doesn't. Your friend?
The roof guy.
Oh, no. This is just about...
Roof guy's kind of thin, very thin, wiry thin.
I've been down south, down by Atlanta.
Yeah.
With my son, where you see the big signs saying, Civil War reenactments. And I'm wondering, from that standpoint, they lost. Why would you want to reenact that?
Well, it's not just the Confederates that reenact. They both sides reenact.
Both sides do.
Yeah, I know, but Mike,
they reenact the battles.
Yeah, I know, but if you're in the South,
yeah.
If you're in the South,
but even in the South, I mean, I think where I am is kind of considered the South.
No, okay, well,
both sides.
Okay, but see, Virginia's close to the Mason-Dixon line. I'm talking about more deep South. I'm talking about South Carolina.
In those states, they reenact it, but they don't reenact it accurately. When they reenact it,
the
Confederacy wins.
They win.
It's the way it normally goes.
I've just always thought it's funny when I'm down south, really down south, to see that, hold on, you're recreating a war that you lost.
Yeah, that does seem a little silly. I understand from a lot of them, they've let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Who? A lot of those people?
A lot of the
reenactors?
The reenactors.
Forgive and forget.
I think that, you can even see, them like having a muffin together after it's all over, both sides. And it's, of course they do it around like where the staged battle wasn't. They'll go around the back of the school or whatever and, enjoy a muffin, a nice blueberry muffin together.
Okay, well, let's break.
All right.
Because there's just a little more weekend stuff.
Okay.
All right. Besides, and then the power. I'm sorry, I'm a slave to power.
Yeah.
No TV, no internet. In my case, no water because that's how everything goes out there.
Yeah, but you live like where the Lewis and Clark expedition passed through,
nothing.
So that's the problem.
Got no nothing going on. Had to break the news. I'll tell you about this when we come back. Had to break the news to Big Frieda about Don Ho.
Oh, my. Yeah. How'd she take that?
Tiny bubble.
Not good. Yeah. And
she a big fan?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, my God. Big Frieda is the world's biggest Don Ho fan.
Oh, that's too bad.
Do you know how sick I am of the Don Ho Christmas album?
Really?
Every year, starting on Thanksgiving Day, from Thanksgiving Day until Christmas Day, she plays it nonstop.
Oh, really?
Ask Rob, what's the greatest gift she ever got? And her entire life, Rob.
I got a written thank you note. I didn't even give her the gift. Don brought me the LP, and I burned it to a CD for her.
Oh, the Don Ho album.
And she was out of her mind. She was so excited. And you know what? I like Christmas music. It isn't all that. It's not that good.
Hey, don't speak ill of the dead.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
And did he have nappy hair? Because I did just say ho.
Oh, that but used as a proper name.
Don Ho.
You're in the clear.
I think you're all right.
He was cool. He was cool before cool was cool.
All right, so we got some weekend stuff to get to. Oh, and we've not even talked about the Sopranos. Yeah. I got to tell you about the mice in my house. And when we come back, we're going to play a fantastic game involving Imus and Robert the Mailman.
Oh, my God, that's dangerous.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.